with its commitment, something we don't want to do, but is something that can't be totally ruled out.
Hamid Karzai has delayed signing the accord with the United States, which would allow American troops to remain in Afghanistan beyond the exit date for the NATO mission at the end of this year. Republicans John Barrasso of Wyoming and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina also met with Karzai. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Former President Bill Clinton administered the oath of office to Democrat Bill de Blasio on Wednesday at the formal swearing-in ceremony for New York City's 109th mayor. De Blasio thanked his own family, then promised New York that he would end what he called the city's, quote, inequality crisis. The Chinese consulate said on Thursday that the Chinese consulate in San Francisco sustained fire and smoke damage after an arsonist struck it, but there were no injuries and the consulate was open for business. The consulate said video cameras recorded the arsonist on Wednesday night carrying two cans of gasoline from a van parked on the street and then setting the embassy gate ablaze. With IRN USA News, I'm Precious Watson.
The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Nothing changed.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You. It's Thursday, January 2nd, 2014.
And we thought we'd have a slightly different U2 lead-in, somehow appropriate for the day. Although
for
I do
New
think...
New Year's... Well, it's not really New Year's Day anymore.
No, but, you know, I do think things change. I mean, it is new beginnings. It's like the slate is temporarily clean. So, I don't know. I think U2 was wrong, but it was fun to
play. It's clean like my driveway.
Yeah. Yeah, we did get a little bit of snow, didn't we? Oh, by the way, you know, we never do traffic reports, well, partly because we don't have a helicopter, and we tried throwing Dave off the roof, and he got really pissed. I do want to warn our listeners that the traffic light on the south side of McLean Boulevard, just south side of Route 20, is out, and I was okay because I came here early enough.
Now, Jeff, you do realize that we broadcast in King County, Cook right. County, McHenry County.
But we are in Elgin.
County.
So for those Elgin folks trying to
but
come
then we
home.
We also have a broader listenership via podcast.
Avoid McLean Boulevard near Route 20. There you go. But
and also, please do not wake the guy that's sleeping in front of Jeff's house. he's the mailman. And also, because if you disturb him, he gets kind of mean. So.
But, you know. Yeah, throwing Dave off the concrete building, and, you know, he bounces nicely, but he got kind of perturbed at us.
I do have a nice bounce.
Yeah. So there you have it. Traffic.
And people are probably recovering from the snowstorm. And if you're sitting at work, don't worry about it. The roads are
they're actually
95% clear.
Yeah, they're pretty good at this point. So.
You know, local, you know, like in your neighborhood, it might be a little snowy. But, you know, I look at it more as a challenge than anything else. So.
Well, although the guy that... in front of me on McLean, a van. Hey, buddy.
You
next
used
time,
to drive a van, mister.
No, a minivan. This was a full van. Brush the damn snow off your roof. It was like following a smoke screen.
Some of us do that intentionally. It's like a James Bond episode.
Yeah, well, in any event. So, yeah, it's 2014. Left, Right, and You. Thank you for joining us. If you want to call in and be on topic, of course. That number is 847-931-1410.
And this is going to be our annual prediction show.
What the bleep is going to happen next year's show? Although before we go there, sir, I thought we could just touch on the Mitt Romney MSNBC fracas. I'm sure most of our listeners have heard about it, where the Mitt and Mrs. Romney took a picture with all the grandkids. And let me tell you, those Mormons are fertile people. Because there was at least, 18?
There was a whole bunch of kids.
16, now, 18 kids in the picture?
And I'm not as well versed in this, but I did see a picture on Twitter. And I wonder, I know we're going to talk about one of them is adopted, but
right.
Are more than one adopted? I don't think one of us know that.
I don't know, to be honest. But basically, the one of Mitt's, relatives or sons or daughters has adopted a black baby. And the black baby was sitting on Mitt's knee in the picture, as well as another white child. His wife was holding a couple kids. Kids were holding kids. I mean, it was like the Osmonds on steroids, except one of them was black. So MSNBC, which not even I watch, Alan. I mean, I don't like Fox News. I'm not a big fan of MSNBC. I mean, I don't.
I'd actually think if the Tea Party didn't watch MSNBC just for gaffes, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would watch it.
But that's, yeah. But I think it's okay to have something to offset Fox News. Basically, started laughing about it. Of course, I would have too. And one of the anchors of a particular show, whose name eludes me.
Yankers or anchors?
Anchors of the particular Yankers.
It's Melissa Harris Perry.
Thank you. Started singing "One of These Things Is Not Like the Other," the famous Sesame Street song. And man, the bleep hit the fan. You would see the thing about the
I do
right,
have the clip, by the way, if you ever want to play it.
The thing about the right is they love free speech unless they don't agree with you. Well, let me just rephrase it. They love free speech only if they agree with what the speech says. So here we have, come on, Mitt I know politicians, Alan. You know politicians.
He's not a politician anymore. He's unemployed.
Well, they never seem to stay
he's
that
way. He's probably retired.
They never seem to stay that way for long.
Ironically, he's one of the 47% now.
So, yeah, that's right. So Mitt, I guarantee, there was 8 kids that it could have been in his lap when you look at that picture. And he had to pick the black kid, the guy that basically said if he was Mexican, he would have won the election, but said that...
he is Mexican, isn't he? He was born in Mexico,
but
right?
He's not of Mexican heritage. His father was born in Mexico. And then he also, in addition to the takers bit, basically claimed that Obama bribed Latinos and blacks into voting for him, as opposed to admitting that Republicans didn't reach out to him. So while certainly singing, first of all, MSNBC.
So we're
going to
complain that he had a black baby in his life.
We're going to complain that we're going to complain that the right loves free speech until they don't. And then they went ballistic over the racism of MSNBC.
Well, I mean, it is really the left. They always like to point out race. You know,
it's ironic.
As we're coming to a point in our, you know, we've elected a African-American, a black president twice. Obviously, there's still some ingrained racism, but in reality, you know, the glass ceiling is more, you know, like a piece of crepe paper, you know, to be honest. I mean,
but,
if you're African-American, if you're black, you can choose to do well, you can succeed. Yeah, there's going to be situations, urban situations, and the city schools are horrible, but in reality, anyone who's from suburbia can do anything, no matter what their black, green,
right.
Purple, whatever color they are.
It's tougher in certain situations when the economics are against you. However,
but to go to that, I mean, I don't want to say we're post-racial, but we're getting darn close to being post-racial. And there's certain people that want to poke at it and pick at that because it's still a scab. It's still healing over. And if we don't pick at it, the issue will go away.
You're
and
a little more optimistic than I am. Well, I think in this case, as a former columnist, and I still write, by the way, I need a bodyguard if one of you can know to escort me through Geneva from now on, if anybody saw my column on Geneva Patch last weekend. The bottom line is it is an odd juxtaposition. And one of the black male commentators and that show basically said, well, that is about the level of a racial diversity in the GOP, which I thought was hysterical. They weren't making fun of the kid, as so many people thought. Mm-hmm. They never disparaged the child at all. And again, if we are going to defend a duck dingbat, I'm going to defend MSNBC's right to say something tasteless.
Oh, they have the right to say it. Right. And it's not a big deal. But, you know, it doesn't mean that people need to, you know, embrace their sponsors and things like that. I mean, the free market does work. If they say stupid stuff, we don't have to go use their sponsors. You know, even if it's your favorite, you know, detergent company, go, hey, I'm not going to buy Tide this week because they're a sponsor of that show. But it is a little bit.
It was a joke, you know. Sometimes you just got to let a joke be a joke.
People like that don't want us to be a post-racial country. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a post-racial comment. And you know, that guy was picking on a scab, and let's call it that. I mean, that's what he was doing.
I think Mitt, sense enough. Politicians just can't help themselves, photo ops and sound bites. I think Mitt sensed a photo op, did it with intent, and got made fun of.
Well, being in the political realm, I'll tell you what, every time you get behind a camera lens, it's kind of a photo op. You want to stage it.
Right.
You know, you don't want to have, like, you wouldn't want, President Obama wouldn't have Phil Robertson behind him in the background, would he?
No, he probably wouldn't.
He would kick him out of there and put someone younger and prettier behind him.
And by the way,
things like that would always happen.
That would be Phyllis Robertson.
Yeah, there you go. But here's the thing. This, I believe, is the newest edition, and I'm not defending the Romneys because, you know what, they can speak for themselves, and I'm not going to defend them one bit. Mm. But, you know, this, I believe this is the newest member of their family, potentially also the youngest.
Could be.
Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't this little girl be in the center of the picture? You wouldn't put like the 18-year-old on his lap. You know, you put the baby there.
I just think he did it for effect, and I think the jokes were actually tasteless but funny. And if we're going to defend ducks, let's defend MSNBC.
I mean, I'm not offended, but honestly, I think the left should be embarrassed. I mean, if that's what it's come to, that they have to picket scabs and make, you know, tasteless jokes like that. Well, look what they've become. You know. I think that the country is better than that,
but
some people obviously don't agree with me.
By the same token, as a columnist, if I saw that, I would have had a hard time letting it go.
I think people are picking on not just, you know, Melissa, but I think just on MSNBC and the hosts, because there's been a rash of the hosts on MSNBC saying things that...
And getting fired.
And getting fired, right, Martin Bashir. Right.
Yeah, but let's move on. I just wanted to throw that out there.
It's a good topic.
Yeah, but we have a lot to cover, and we've promised our listeners... the top stories of 2013, so they can go out and place bets
and
make a lot of
Vegas
money.
And
that's
make
right.
Happen.
Of course, I did.
Where
make,
do you want to start, Jeff?
Well, I did make one prediction on our promo, and that's that Dorito consumption in Colorado will triple in 2014.
Well, here, what, are you willing to make a prediction if you think that those laws will pass the rest of the country this year?
Not all, more states will legalize it this year, okay. Yes, but it won't be. Gay marriage will be legal.
We're not going to see
faster
47
than,
states
no.
pass a marijuana law, but I could see maybe one passing a more liberalized marijuana law, and maybe like another doing medical marijuana. That's something that I would take.
I would say maybe three or four states this year will legalize marijuana when they see.
Possibly,
how,
I think it's a little high, just because of the way the political stuff moves. I don't see that many, but I see more and more.
So, I mean, it won't. Gay marriage will continue to become the norm in states. That I see. What are we at? 18 states right now. I think that'll virtually double in 2014 because of the legalities.
Maybe one or two.
No, I think the
double.
The bans will.
All
not
right,
be
that's
upheld.
Our first prediction. So, yeah. What are the odds here? Let's do some bookmaking here. What kind of odds we put on that? I'll take that bet, by the way, for if you want to double. Mm-hmm. So double from 18 to 36.
Yeah, 18 to 36.
So we're going to put this in our little black book.
I think it will be found that that all these bans will be unconstitutional, be forced to do it. So there's a difference. I'm not saying...
Even though the Constitution of the United States specifically says anything not enumerated is left up to the people
that's
of the
right.
states.
That's right.
So
that's
happening. I don't know where you go with the constitutional.
It's already argument. Happening now.
Well, there hasn't been any... nothing has actually been upheld by the Supreme Court on that. There is that California Prop 8 or whatever it was
right.
that is going back and forth, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. And to be honest, I don't think that's going to happen in 14 anyways. Next.
But the next one I would – and this one you can bet
real
on.
One here, yeah.
The Blackhawks will win the Stanley Cup again. They will repeat.
It's quite plausible. The Blackhawks are scoring like mad.
Right.
But I look at – what was it last Saturday or last Friday, that game where they, you know, they are up by 3 goals and they ended up losing in overtime. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean –
It's quite plausible. I'm not going to take that one to the bank.
I
won't take that bet.
We're still early on in the season.
Yeah.
I think that they – you want to see a team have some adversity. You don't want it like – the year the Seattle Seahawks tied
the Bears.
Well, that's different. When you have guys like Singletary and Jim McMahon, you can overcome anything. But I go back to the Lou Piniella Seattle Mariners who won 116 games and then went out straight, 4 straight in the playoffs. You have to have some adversity. I think it's good that the Hawks aren't running away with everything, but they're right there at the top of the league.
They need to peak at the right time. Last year, it actually, if you watch the beginning of the Blackhawks, look at how Blackhawks versus Red Wings. Mm. They had a tough time beating the Red Wings. They had to come back from almost losing the series.
But that's always going to be tough for the Hawks.
And then they peaked in the finals.
Right.
And you really have to peak in the playoffs or near the finals to win it because the competition's too fierce.
Right. At that point, it's
very plausible. They've got one of the best teams on the ice. But we'll see how we go on down the stretch.
Should I continue or do you want to throw one out there?
You know, let's do a sports one here.
I just did.
Well, we'll do another sports one here. Today it was announced that my favorite Bear, Jay Cutler, was signed for 7 years, but what, $18 million a year?
It's ridiculous. It is absurd.
I'm going to come out and say
Cade McNown is a better quarterback.
Not going to last all 7 years. I don't think that he's – and this is stuff you can take to the bank. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to stay healthy all the way through 14.
I would agree.
I actually think he's going to start all the games, but he's either going to get benched or fake an injury like he did against in that playoff game at least a few quarters of 2014. I don't think he's going to beat the Packers, and he also won't be winning any playoff games next year.
The Bears won't make the playoffs next year. They will have a losing record next year.
Here is an interesting stat. Jay Cutler, when he was at the Denver Broncos, was exactly 500. I think it was 36 and 36. Mm-hmm. When he was traded to the Chicago Bears, actually his overall has to be 67-67. So it's a combination of Broncos mm-hmm. and the Bears. So he was 500 at the Broncos. He was 500 at the Bears. He won one playoff game. He lost one big playoff game. Mm-hmm. So he's 1-1 there. So he is the quintessential 500 quarterback.
He just doesn't have the mental capacity to that's what I like to say. At that level, it's mental. The talent's there for most people.
He's talented. He's got all the physical talent in the world.
But Cade McNown's a better
quarterback. Just like when he was in the Broncos, he's got this piss-poor attitude.
Right.
He didn't get along with his players at the Broncos. He's doing a better job here. But here's the thing. He's part of it is a quitter. Part of it is a bad attitude. But because of that, he's not a good leader. He doesn't inspire people to be greater than what they are. Where Brady does that, the
Peyton Manning.
The Manning brothers do that.
Well, McMahon didn't do that. I mean,
I think he did.
He had charisma, but he was never a leader.
McMahon was a lot like Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
He had the amazing team around him.
Yes.
Look, I don't care. I mean, Donald Duck could be a perfect rated quarterback with those receivers the Bears have. I mean, McNown, he is a quintessential backup player. He's not a starter.
I think he's a better quarterback.
But here's if he doesn't get signed by the Bears, he isn't going to have a job in football. He's going to be sidelined like Tim Tebow, okay? Yeah. Tim Tebow could come here and do just as good as McNown with the receivers the Bears. We have the best receivers out there.
Cade McNown, by the way, welcome to the Jeff and Allen Sports Show. But I also will predict that within 3 years, Mark Trestman will be gone. He's a terrible coach. Terrible.
Well, Lovie Smith was fired for a 10-6 season.
Lovie Smith was a bad coach.
Trestman comes in here, does 8-8. At first I was loving it, that big fast offense, but I see some poor judgment.
Incredible! He thinks he's smarter than the game, and he always is. But we should probably get off the Jeff and Allen Sports Show.
I think he'll be gone about the same time as Cutler.
So I will. Well, you want to go again?
No, you go ahead.
All right, I will.
We're nothing but polite here.
That's right. Pope Francis, my favorite pope, will continue to rock the Catholic Church by actually following the Catholic religion. What a thought.
Now, I want to hear a specific prediction, though.
Well, he will continue.
What's he going to do, light more candles? Come on!
Pope Francis will continue to take on the church hierarchy and change the Catholic Church. He will bring Catholics back to the church, and business as usual is done for.
I still don't know what that means, Jeff.
It's kind of like...
Is he going to allow gay marriage?
Well, no.
Okay, so not going to do that.
Not going to do that.
Is he going to allow priests to marry? Is he going to allow
next year. Not next year.
Oh, you think he's going to do that, though?
I think it's a possibility.
I have a prediction about Pope Francis.
I feel the thunder.
He's going to be... My prediction, Pope Francis, 2014, he's going to be a first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals.
All right, Dave. That's
that little drum roll of sound effect.
But I think this is more of a philosophical prediction. He will continue to force the Catholic Church to change, and it will be a very positive thing for Catholics.
What if the left has built him up as this super progressive Catholic guy, and it turns out that he actually believes in church doctrine, and he's not as progressive as people think?
I don't think that's going to happen. Again, he's living it. That's the critical thing. I'm seeing him. I always used to scream about the mansion in St. Peter's, and you know what? He's living in an apartment off the main thing. He's wandering the streets at night, which is driving security crazy.
He's instead of saying he's wandering the streets at night, you should say what he's doing.
Ministering to the homeless. he's buying.
He's not just wandering. He's not some wino.
He's buying crack. So that's Pope Francis will continue.
Where is the Vatican Hooters? I want to know where the Vatican Hooters is. Okay.
So there you go. It's your turn,
you know,
dude.
Well, I have a feeling that.
By the way, I'm Alan Skillicorn.
Say something to tick off progressives.
Oh, he will. But see, I have no illusions about him.
But there's some people who are building him up as this great progressive hero, and I have a feeling that he'll play them for a fool.
I don't think that. I think what, and I want to be clear, why I like this Pope so much is he is walking the walk.
I don't think anyone can complain about that.
And there's so few people that do that. I mean, that alone, I can forgive the no gay marriage.
But there are plenty of, and I would say Christian leaders out there that, you know, they give the majority of their money away, that are absolutely, their life is committed to helping people. And yes, we need more of that. What we need is everyday people doing that. And you know what? There are a lot of people do that.
There are.
I have hope.
But the Pope is the guy that should live up to the standard. As I always like to say in my columns, Christianity ain't for sissies, Alan. And this Pope has gone a long way.
It's not supposed to be easy.
That's right. But a lot of Christians think it is. So anyway, your turn.
Well, you know what? 2013 was one of the coldest years in recorded history. It was actually one of the 10 coldest years since we've been keeping
global cooling, by the way.
Possibly. And if you look at that 15-year trend, you know, after 15 years, the average is lower than the 15 years previous to that. Mm-hmm. So I think, and this is my prediction, that the leftists that want to talk about global warming will continue preaching it, just like any religion. And, you need to have faith to believe in global warming nowadays.
Well, again, like I always point out and you always point out, when we try to blame one storm or one weather event, 1 year of coolness doesn't mean much. It's just 1 year.
But 15 years adds up.
It does. And when you see stories, I always like to say, the funny thing is most conservatives agree with me when I put it this way. You know, we are conservative. We are conservators of this planet. And if we're smart, we're going to try to leave the least imprint on it we can. There was a story on CNN last week. 8-year-old kids in China are getting cancer from the pollution. It is so bad over there. So
the stuff they dump in the water and the air is
the air pollution, lung cancer.
But here's, some of the silliness of the carbon deal is that how are we going to, the idea is that you want to prevent global warming. Mm. Well, they want to prevent it by just taxing it. How does taxing something, change it? It doesn't. And that's just the silliness of it. I mean, we haven't talked about real solutions the reason I really think it is that what it really is to these people is they want this global wealth redistribution. What does Al Gore want? He wants to make money off his carbon credits, I know, so he can become rich himself.
I don't think
he'd rather transfer money to the developing world than the
There's average world. People like me that simply think we need to take better care of the planet, and fossil fuels isn't the way to go.
I may not disagree with taking better care of the planet, but reality is that the parts per million is so small in carbon dioxide. Yes, it's a greenhouse gas, but it doesn't even compare to methane vapor.
And Alan, I will disagree. Most climate scientists, many of whom really don't have a dog in the hunt, agree that we are doing something.
You're going to have to quantify that a little more, Jeff.
Well, the ice caps, they're predicting there'll be no Arctic ice cap.
Greenland has more ice today than it did 50 years ago.
No, it doesn't. They're predicting.
Not predicting. And I'm not talking about the models that were disproven through ClimateGate. Mm-hmm. Remember, those models have been disproven.
Well, there was some.
And they faked all the information. There is more ice in Greenland today than there was in the past. There may be less cover, but the ice is deeper.
Right. But the less cover is the problem, because once the cover goes away, as anybody could attest, when we here in the Midwest don't have snow on the ground, we have warmer winters.
More ice is the problem, you're saying.
Less coverage is the problem in a lot of ways.
But there's more ice.
Ice ages start, Alan, typically when snow, at least here in this area, with snow in the Canadian mountains did not melt fully over the course of a year. That's what started it going. It's the coverage that does it. Again, you're a driver. You notice when we don't have snow coverage, we have warmer winters. It's really simple. But the bottom line is, I kind of look at this like Pascal's wager. You know, Blaise Pascal said, basically, you may as well believe in God because the outcome. You know, if you don't believe in God and he doesn't exist, you're fine. But if you don't believe in God and does, he gets pissed. So in this case, let's take better care of the planet. Let's forget the arguments for or against global warming. We don't want to, as an asthmatic especially, let's spew a little less stuff into the atmosphere and streams, and it can only help.
But we always confuse pollutants to carbon dioxide. And I'll go to Pascal. It takes a little faith to believe in the, you know, HWD. But on a cold, blustery day like today, I think we can agree that a nice hot cup of tea is the way to go.
Well, I kind of think a nice hot cup of mulled wine is even better. Oh, tea! I screwed up the transition. Tea, yes, and one of my biggest predictions is now I am not predicting their demise, but I am predicting...
Whoa, you wrote down demise today.
Oh, just to be funny. As I actually put it, the Tea Party begins their precipitous decline into obscurity.
Okay.
And it will be much more national Tea Party than local. I still think on a local level it can work, but I do think that the Republican regulars are tired of them. They're going to boot him. I think Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have reached their nadir and will now recede. And the Tea Party, by the end of the year, will start. Politicians will be less and less worried about being primaried.
So you're saying politicians, establishment politicians, won't worry about being primaried. That Ted Cruz and Rand Paul have peaked.
Yeah.
And that the National Tea Party will.
We'll fade in their power. They're not going to
make any note of that. So yeah. When you're going to go to Las Vegas, I'll come back and say that first off is that, and I know we have disagreed on this National Tea Party thing, and I don't see a lot of National Tea Party. I see some groups. I see national level groups, you know, like Americans for Prosperity and Crossroads and a few others like that. Actually, Crossroads is a Rose group, so not them. But a few other ones. And I don't see them being a genuine Tea Party. I just thought that they were along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they were ever since 2009. So I think of those as a non-issue. I think of national, non-issue because they don't really exist. I see certain states where it's not quite as powerful as it was. But locally, some states, I actually see there's going to be some states where there's Tea Party insiders that are becoming part of the combine. They're becoming part of Republican leadership. Locally, I see them become part of Republican leadership and statewide. So I see that happening. And then, to be honest, I think Cruz and Rand Paul, I mean, the sky's the limit as far as they want to go. You know, realize that Rand Paul's father, Ron Paul, obviously he was ranked farther down, but he was one of the top six people that from that respect survey. Obviously, Barack Obama led, you know, the most respected person in 2013. Ron Paul was tied with basically the rest of the politicians, which I think is very interesting.
But again, now I'm talking about getting anywhere politically, and Ron Paul never has.
I don't know about that. I mean, libertarianism was a book club
presidentially
before Ron Paul, and now people talk about
the
Federal Reserve
electorally.
People talk about the global war going on,
right.
Both Democrats and Republicans.
But I will say, if Ted Cruz, if my prediction is wrong, and I have been wrong before, and Ted Cruz...
I was making a lot of money. But
Ted Cruz does gain power and become even close to the Republican nominee in 2016. Now we're jumping way ahead.
I have a prediction.
Hillary Clinton will be our president in 2016.
I have a prediction. They were going to be taking a break and coming back in about a
minute
and a half.
And this is Left, Right, and You. Hold on. We're going to pay the bills and be right back. So last night I couldn't sleep. So I got my laptop going. And fortunately, when you're sitting in bed, it gets hot, doesn't have a good airflow. You know, even though it was a cool night, it's still uncomfortable.
Well, I got the solution for you. I invented a product called the Lapinator. And you can go to www.lapinator.com. It is a laptop.
You might have to spell that.
Lapinator. I found out in French it means rabbit killer, but, you know, so much for brand name testing.
Yeah, you're not going to be very popular in France.
No, not in France. But basically what the Lapinator is, Ellen, it's a portable insulated laptop desk that not only keeps 95% of laptop heat off your lap, so I don't have to get the fire extinguisher out every time you use your laptop, but it keeps your laptop 11 degrees cooler with no moving parts. So, hey.
That's great. And heat does damage electronics.
We sell all our products through Amazon, so, you know, you can get shipping free. Go to www.lapinator.com. www.lapinator.com.
Hi, this is Alan Skillicorn. Here's a reminder that Odyssey Forge offers creative, custom, and unique internet solutions. Looking for more security or two-factor verification? Odyssey Forge has a solution for you. Do you want custom WordPress site? Odyssey Forge can customize the popular platform. What about secure e-commerce? Odyssey Forge will develop an attractive site easy to use for you and your customers. Check out www.odysseyforge.com or see my Odyssey Forge-powered site, alanskillicorn.com.
Right, any
Welcome
way you want it, Alan.
Left, right, you.
That's the way you got it. Oh, sorry.
And this is the January 2nd edition. So if you listen to the podcast, you've got another half of the show. And you can take some of these predictions to the bank.
That's
if you're
right.
Joining us.
Especially
this is Alan Skillicorn,
mine.
That's Jeff Ward.
That's
Jeff, why don't you tell where people can find you?
TheFirstWard.net. And lately, I have been putting columns up on Geneva Patch. So
on the patch.
On the patch, yeah, I know.
You know, why don't I'm going to jump in with another prediction.
Jump.
And I'm going to kind of cite my website here because I've got a great article that I posted yesterday. No, this morning, that the intolerance of liberal Democrats in 2014 is going to cost them. And let's go into this. You know, there's a culture war obviously going on. And, you know.
I think the average American doesn't give a bleep, but I think politically there is a culture war, yes.
Well, there is a center, you know, group of people that don't care. But, and let's dive into that. There's three types of people. There are people that are rock solid on their social conservative values, there's rigid social liberals, and then there's the people in between that don't care. And they might lead one way or the other, but they're not passionate about it.
No.
And that is going to probably be the majority. And this is where I see
it is.
Now, happening.
Just briefly, Ellen. Yeah. God bless it. The Kane County Clerk's Office will provide lists of voters to candidates who want lists of voters. It's a regular recurring thing. Jack Cunningham, any county clerk will do it. And sometimes I've done that. And when you look at the Republicans just in a precinct, the Democrats in a precinct, the people who are non-declared are usually 2 to 3 times more than either side.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
People, and, well, I always tell people that people aren't as ideological as
That's
someone
right.
like you and me would think.
Right.
And also not as partisan as
right.
someone like you and me are. But here's really where that goes, though. I see that there's obviously of that middle. They're not passionate about the issue either way, but they will make a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, they will go, well, I'm a little more towards traditional marriage, or I don't care. You know, usually the people who I don't care are the most apathetic, the least likely to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take the people that are less passionate about the issue, but go, okay, I agree with traditional marriage, you combine those with the social conservatives, I think you have a coalition that is pretty powerful in politics.
It's what it's always taken Republicans to win.
Well, not always,
because
it only started when Ronald Reagan, you know, put together the religious right back in the early days. I think that there could be a slight revival of that in 2014, and I see states like Missouri and Florida and basically the South, anything south of Mason-Dixon line, will be really in play for the Republicans, and it might be a short-term bump, but it's going to be social conservative-driven.
Now, it's funny. I'm going to predict just the opposite. Not just the opposite, because the southern states are a bit different. But I think the Republican Party's failure to embrace and enact reasonable immigration reform will doom them in November and continuing elections.
See, I don't see how that goes. I don't see how that works against them.
Because they need an if what you say is true, will come to pass, my prediction will fail, because they will have found that voting block to put them over the
top.
Well,
you talk about...
But I don't think they will. I think there's people still mad.
I think you're talking about Hispanics, right?
Absolutely.
Hispanics are predominantly social conservatives. So if Republicans went after them saying, hey, if you don't like abortion, if you like the church, come vote for us.
They haven't managed to pull it. I think...
Wouldn't that hurt Democrats?
Not until Republicans make some attempt at immigration reform, because that's nearer and dearer to your average Latino's heart.
Here's
than
what I look at
those
it,
other issues
is that I don't see how offering amnesty and things like that are going to help the Republican Party in the long run. I think it only helps the Democrat Party in the long run.
I know. I actually
even if Republicans get on board and go, oh, let's do this.
Oh, come on,
because they aren't just. Undocumented workers, they're undocumented Democrats.
That's not exactly true.
What's going on.
Your hero, Ronald Reagan, who now Sarah Palin thinks is too liberal, by the way, I wanted Republicans to embrace this kind of liberalism, not dismiss it. But anyway, Sarah, Ronald Reagan said, and I'm not quoting directly, Hispanics are Republicans, they just don't know it yet.
Actually, I think that is pretty directly. And I don't have any qualm with that whatsoever.
He understood. And I think immigration reform, it's not pandering in this case. We desperately need immigration reform. And I think if Republicans did it, it would open the door to make the case you just made.
I think you'll find myself as a pretty open-minded guy on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really comes down to, and this is what – I mean, it's not really racial. It's about jobs. And if you've got a high unemployment rate, you don't have people that are tax-paying, born in America, apple pie-eating, American flag-waving guys that are going to be excited – about people coming in and replacing them and be able to work for less money.
But they don't replace them. That's the irony. The best example was when they tried to get – we discussed this on the show – when Alabama tried to get white folks to come out and work in the fields. And they quit. Tomatoes were rotting. I mean, they couldn't get
– we've bred a generation of lazy – video game play wimps, unfortunately.
But that's another issue.
I'm right here. Come on.
Yeah. But that's another issue, but, Alan. You know, I just think they still do jobs white folks won't do.
And you know what? If people get hungry, they'll do what they need to do. And unfortunately, we have basically coddled people and say you don't have to work hard. And say you don't have to, really roll up your sleeves and get something done if you want to support your family. You know, we've said that since the 50s because, not your generation, but your parents' generation, mm-hmm. the boomers. You know, my
parents technically, I am
too.
A boomer.
Okay.
1958.
Well, your kids are a little young and probably they've been indoctrinated through school and all that too. But unfortunately, we've taken away what the greatest generation taught us, and one generation have lost it, unfortunately. And that's really the issue. Now, on the immigration, I am in favor of more visas. Mm-hmm. I want to see smarter people coming here to the United States. I want to see more doctors. I want to see more physicists.
But that's immigration
reform.
And
we also have 30 million homes that are not filled. I'd like to see some of those people filled. I'm not so interested in bringing in people that are going to bring down labor costs. Restaurants would love this. Restaurant workers are trying to get the minimum raise, like double. Mm-hmm. Well, sure enough, they're going to pass immigration reform, and they're going to be able to hire these guys for $5 an hour because they'll do it illegally. I mean, they're shooting themselves in the foot.
I don't think restaurants – it's
restaurants are already one of the worst – restaurants and farms are the most notorious of hiring undocumented immigrants.
Well, but now be fair. Farms, they're migrant workers, and they're really dependent upon them. It's funny. Even in conservative states, the farmers got kind of ticked when that became a problem.
Well, yeah, because the farmers are taking advantage of it.
Nobody else will do it. They could not get – even D.L. Hughley used to joke
if they tried to get black folks more than $2 an hour, they would.
Right, but then
– that's that's
but
what
then the rest of
to.
Us demand cheap clothing.
What?
You know, we're so used to bleeping Walmart, we won't pay for the
totally
fruit of those labors.
Is that some of the stuff is driven by consumerism.
Right.
And, I totally understand that. But in reality, if you want to protect, you want to protect skilled jobs. You want to protect people who work with their hands.
Right.
Opening the floodgates to more workers is not going to protect those people.
I'm
surprised that unions don't say no way.
I'm not saying opening the floodgates. Look, we've got – I forget the number. We discussed it last summer.
Seven.
We've got seven. We've got illegal immigrants here that even many Republicans agree we simply – the cost to deport would be outrageous. Ronald Reagan – Ronald Reagan gave millions of illegal immigrants amnesty. They're hero.
But here's the thing. It didn't work. It failed.
It failed because –
more people came because – the carrot just got bigger. Now,
No. More people came because of the disparity. We have the biggest income disparity on the Mexican-American border.
We want to break the law.
That's right. Republicans. That's who they generally are, these Republican.
Well, then you know what? Let's put them in jail. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat.
Fine.
They're breaking the law. Let's put them in jail.
I have a question for both of you. Is there going to be a comprehensive immigration bill supported by Democrats and Republicans in the next year?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying,
was,
Dave. No.
If it passed the Senate, it won't pass.
Or some sort of bill, because
not.
I think Republicans are hungry to, change their image on Hispanics.
I think they are, but Republicans, Marco Rubio came out against his own bill. That's exactly my prediction.
Yeah, but it
Dave.
Also became a pork fest for,
that's
fishing industry
another
and
issue.
And things like that.
But But the bottom line is, I know, no immigration reform will not pass. The Republic people will not forget Republican shutdown. Right. Republicans will have a very difficult time with the polls.
Strategically, it'd be a dumb move
in November.
For the House Republicans to do anything on the issue.
I think
if they're going to do anything, let's have more visas and such. That's going to be fine. Some of these, like the low-skill visas, we don't even max out every year.
Right.
And there are some really dumb rules,
right,
like where the employer has to sponsor people. Well, if they don't know the person, how do they sponsor them? You know, there's some dumb things like that that can be fixed and addressed.
You know, anything
other than changing the visa system?
I don't know.
I think it's going to
be decided. I'm not saying open the floodgates, Helen, but as you know, and I've mentioned on the show, I sponsor, you know, my cleaning lady died of cancer, Chernobyl. She was in Poznan at the time. I sponsor her daughter. Straight-A student, gainfully employed, does phenomenal.
In here or in Russia?
No, she's in, like, Lombard. I forget. I haven't told.
Lombard!
Need to call her. But, no, she's right here.
Okay.
Dave Richmond, as you know, set up the sponsorship. And basically what I said was, if all else fails, I will financially support her. I mean, I'm not.
Now, tell me the story of background of immigration. Did she immigrate together? Or?
Well, her mother brought her here illegally.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not her fault.
As a little girl.
Yeah. So, but, and then her mother passed on, and
sure. Things
got tenuous.
How old is she now?
Oh, my God.
You don't have to get personal details, but she's still in
22,
school.
23.
Oh, so she's out of school.
Yeah, she's working.
Okay.
You know, I haven't talked to her. I haven't talked to her since
so
last
summer.
So
she's got a green card.
Right.
Okay, so she was able to find
Right. It's still tough, though. But here you got a really cool, a great, as Dave Richmond likes to say, and I'm probably going to push, Dave, I apologize, that Republicans are against immigration until they know someone who needs to be here. Wow, this guy's really great. So I'm not saying
But don't forget, I said open up the visas.
Yeah, but I'm not saying throw open the gates. But I understand we have a caller on our New Year's show.
We do. Pete has a question
for
you.
Pete
from Elgin has a question for you regarding immigration. Pete, you're on Left Right You.
Hey, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Don't you think one of the main roadblocks to some sort of compromise, to some sort of immigration bill, a comprehensive immigration bill, is the insistence that any comprehensive immigration bill has to have a expansive path to citizenship, and that by and that people who came here illegally, whether it's their fault or not, while they may not have the right to work here and not to be deported, but they should not get an automatic right to citizenship, which would give them full political rights.
That was
Isn't
Marco
that
Rubio's
crux
goal, Pete,
of the matter?
Pete, what is your preference on it? Should people get the a pathway to citizenship, or should they just be allowed to basically get a work permit? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't think people should necessarily all be deported.
Right, and you know, the funny
I didn't ask that question.
But I don't think they should have full political rights because they came here illegally.
Right, and you know what? Pete, I was convinced, this is a case where if you had bet on one of my predictions, you would have lost money. I was convinced the onerous path to citizenship in Rubio's bill, I was convinced that bill would pass because of that. I thought, man, this is really tough.
It's a poison pill.
They will do
tough.
It. And the reason I can safely predict that Republicans won't do immigration reform, because if this bill couldn't pass, nothing's going to pass.
Well, don't forget, the Senate bill passed the Senate.
Yeah, but that's Democratic.
Sure. But with some Republican support.
Right.
And there is a difference. Working and citizenship are two different things. And citizenship, even, you know, if you come here and immigrate here to the United States, you still have to wait to become naturalized.
Right.
You know, you don't become a citizen right away. So working and citizenship is different, and I don't have a problem with being a higher standard.
Right. And Pete, I don't think it's a roadblock to the bill to something passing.
The Democratic Party insisted that any bill that passes have a path to citizenship broadly based.
I think that comes down to
not just for people that serve in the military or, you know,
but
that,
Rubio,
that, are, that Mark, have been here since they've been very small children,
Pete, Mark,
but for everybody that comes who came illegally, and in effect their move to the head of the line for citizenship above people who are going through the process legally to immigrate to the United States.
Marco Rubio's bill, which again, I mean, that's a Republican bill. There was
yes.
a very tough, I think, decade-long process to citizenship. That's why I thought that bill was a sure thing. I was wrong. So I think that it has to be part of any bill in order for it to pass. But because this bill, Marco Rubio even turned against it. But that,
so if it has to be part of any bill, I don't think it's going to pass because there's so many people that don't like the idea of, you know, someone who broke the law then can become a citizen. I don't think they like that. I think they like the idea that there's a difference. And
but I think this path to citizen, I would have bet my, you know, my bottom dollar, and it failed.
Pete, what country are you from?
Well, I'm from the United States.
And where's that?
Is that near?
Well, where's the United States?
Yes.
Don't listen
well,
to that.
It has boundaries that seem to be have been expanding here over the my lifetime.
So has my waistline.
Yeah. I think there should be a path to citizenship, but if Rubio's bill couldn't pass, nothing's going to
pass. Well, Pete brings up a really good point about the difference between working
right
and citizenship. So thanks, Pete.
But thank you, Pete, for calling in. We always appreciate
Happy
your
New
commentary.
Year, Pete.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Well, I'm gonna jump in, and you know, 2013 was like one of the biggest years in the stock market we've ever
right.
seen. Personally, I saw my retirement just in December alone go up 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Just 1 month. You know, right. very, very
I have
big
done,
booming year.
God bless my mother for leaving me some cash. I've done very well.
And I'm gonna say that I'm actually short term, I'm a little bearish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the spring there's gonna be a pullback, but I will make a prediction. You can go to Vegas with this one. Come January of 2015, next year, the Dow Jones Industrial Average will be at 18,000 points.
I actually think you're a little low, but let's just say we agree on this one. I don't think you're too far off, but I think there's still so much nace. I was a contrarian when I personally invested. Now I have the professionals handle it, meaning, you know, contrarian. You know, there's still enough people who think President Obama, the Muslim socialist president, is going to tank the economy. There's plenty of money left to go in the market. So I think you're right.
Well, if you went to my website today, you'll see this great chart about how global poverty is just going mm-hmm. down, 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 down. And the headline is that, you know, the greatest, you know, innovation, the biggest problem ever solved in human history, and no one talks about it. And it's global poverty is going down, 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 down.
It is. It has.
Now, the only thing that I will counterpoint that to is that this is a Wall Street rally and a Main Street stagnate.
Right.
You know, if you see other charts, you'll
and
see
that can't continue.
GDP is GDP this last quarter.
It did really well this
last
quarter.
Surpassed the 2007 high point.
Right.
So we're at new uncharted territory, GDP, yet we're millions of jobs down.
Right.
Still. And this has been this jobless thing. So it really is a Wall Street versus Main Street. Janet Yellen was just appointed chair of the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a 6-year position. So she was appointed by President Obama. And she will outlast him. You know, she's going to be there 6 years. She's very bullish on quantitative easing. So she's going to keep on printing money, basically. Mm-hmm. And this is where you know, obviously I made the prediction about 18,000 points of Dow Jones. But I also believe that we're going to continue to stagnate. You know, senior citizens are still going to be hit with normal everyday inflation. I don't know why in the 90s we changed CPI to not include food and energy and housing, because those are the things that are really exploding because we're making.
I think volatility
money.
Was the issue to a degree, because it could go
if
so up and down.
If you're a senior citizen and you're
right.
on a fixed income, and
that's a problem.
Milk is increasing. You know, every 6 months by 25 cents.
Yeah, dairy isn't good for anybody. Don't drink milk.
Well, okay.
I know. I'm just giving
but
you.
But here's the thing. As we continue to you know, the QE 4, 5, 6, and 7, you know, we're going to keep quantitative easing and printing money. Eventually, energy prices are going to go up. The only reason they're going down is because we're finding so much natural gas and because we're finding so much, you know, shale oil and stuff in the United States. But eventually, gasoline's going to go up in price.
Oh, absolutely.
Food's going to go up in price. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're burning corn and things like that. We're doing some dumb things there.
Very dumb.
But food prices are going to skyrocket.
Well, I don't know about skyrocket.
You
but...
and me, who have money in the market, we're going to do this fine. Yeah. Wall Streeters, the banks, they're going to do great. But the people who are struggling to get by, they're
right.
going to have less and less buying power every month.
Now, we agree on that, and although I will.
That's a failing. Failing of, I mean, it is a policy. I mean, Barack Obama did appoint someone with this kind of idea that you can ease your way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've done this for 100 years, and it hasn't worked so
good. You're taking on my role here, but I will say, I predicted the economy and the housing market will continue to post incredible gains next year. Part of it is because the banks are buying all the houses they foreclosed on because people are now only renting.
Now, if they would just burn those houses down.
Yeah. But I think that I'm a little more optimistic about the economy than you are, and I do think the job situation will greatly improve. I'm starting to see the signs of that. You know, the pre-signs, the sales tax revenue going. The stock market is a great predictor unless there's a boom or a bust. So I think we'll do better.
The stock market was quite booming in the late 1990s.
But that was the internet bubble. So,
but it was also a Fed-induced bubble. And
right.
Then, you know, don't forget that I forget if it was Greenspan or Krugman that said, oh, we should all invest in houses. And you know, I mean,
well, don't ever listen to those guys.
Yeah.
Although, as I continually put on our Facebook fan page, you know, again, if Barack Obama is a socialist president, he sucks at it. Because, again, record economic gains, record housing market gains, and record stock market gains. He's doing something right.
And I have been very vocal in saying he's just an opportunist corporatist.
Yeah. Well, but we're riding towards the end of the show. The one I wanted to get in there is, despite a setback, the NSA's data gathering techniques will be found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
I hope so. But is there a case that's going to be in front of the Supreme Court? I'm not aware of one that's...
Not yet, but that's the appeals court. You wonder how some folks get to be judges. I mean, the appeals court essentially said when you turn your bleep over to a cell phone company, you have no expectation of privacy. Well, let's just extrapolate that logic. Then why can't they just blatantly wiretap?
Well,
they do.
Let's use that example. Let's say you're a renter. Mm-hmm. Because you don't own your home and you pay rent to some stranger, does that mean you have no expectation of privacy? The courts have not ruled that.
No. This is I am stunned by that ruling, but it is a temporary setback that will be overcome.
Will Edward Snowden be back here by the end of
next
year?
No, they will not give him immunity, though they should to figure out, you know, what
the extent. I'll agree with Jeff on that one. And I'll be the first to say, if I run for president in 2016... So I thought I'd hear some
cheering.
Yay! I will pardon Edward Snowden.
All right. Cool.
Scale of corn.
I will also add that I don't know if Obama will make the 7 million number, the Obamacare will make the 7 million number by March, but I do believe it will be fixed and it will become popular, much to Republican chagrin.
Did I read somewhere that his approval rating is up? Is that something?
It is up a bit, yes.
Did I see because of the
because it is working.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Well, you know, here, Obama, I'm glad you saw. You're going to say it's fixed. People are going to be happy with it.
What's
your prediction?
I will say by the end, I don't think they'll make the 7 million by March, which was their target. But by the end of the year, the vast majority of problems will be fixed, and it will actually shift above 50% in approval rating. I think on the way to it being accepted.
The Unaffordable Care Act
will
have positive approval.
Positive approval rating, yes.
Well, let me get – if people want to take that to Vegas, it's fine. It's a little risky. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go with my prediction here, and that I predict more delays. I think that next fall, Barack Obama and maybe Congress will pass more – some of the mandates will be delayed another year, so, you know, to 16.
That's fixing.
That's not fixing. That's just delaying.
Well, it's allowing things to work out. I disagree with Tim, who was on the show last week. They'll have to fix some things. They may have to rework the penalties. But delaying some stuff until they get it right is, in my mind, still a fix.
That still seems like kicking the can down the road to me. And that's what I would call it.
Assumption, you're assuming the fixes won't work, that it's kicking the can down the road.
I don't think there's any fixes. I'm
assuming they will work.
We can't fix this. It's screwed up. Let's delay it for another year, and we'll pray to the global warming God. We're all waiting for a tidal wave or something.
That's where you and I disagree. I think they will actually fix the problem.
I think that the Unaffordable
Care Act are too
will
great.
Be more unpopular in 14, mm-hmm. end of 14.
So we disagree there.
I don't think it's going to be repealed in 2014, okay? Mm. But I do think in the 2014 elections, many Democrats will run
against
it.
No, you didn't say many.
I think all those Southern Democrats, especially in those competitive Senate races, will disown Obamacare. Mm. They're even going to come up with new bills to address some of the problems.
We disagree there. And go ahead.
Well, I'm not done yet. Come on.
Sorry, I didn't realize it.
I think the real big head is going to come in tax season of 2015, so spring of 2015. There's going to be people that have to pay back subsidies. Ooh. These are people that are kind of struggling to get by anyways. If they get a tax bill of all of a sudden 10 grand, it's going to tick them off. So there's going to be – I think there's going to be a serious outrage. So basically about 13, 14 months from now, be serious outrage in the spring of
15. I think they'll fix those problems.
And the newly elected Republican Senate is going to pass a bill keeping some of the good things of Obamacare, but repealing some of the bad things. And it won't be called repeal. Barack Obama would never sign a repeal.
Right.
But what he would probably do pragmatically is accept the bill that took away the individual mandate, left the exchanges, because there's nothing inherently wrong with an exchange, because it's private companies are able to advertise there.
Competition.
So they're going to take away some of the bad things, and they're going to leave alone things that are fine.
And I hate to interrupt you, because
I'm feeling he's going to go along with Congress.
We're almost done, but briefly,
take it to the bank.
Democrats will retain the Senate in November. And
I don't see that plausible one way, barring disaster. Barring, you know, if there isn't like a tidal wave that takes out the southern states, I just don't see that happening.
Well, Texas secedes from the Union, and Afghanistan continues to implode. Those are my predictions. We need to hang on to
these. Don't disagree about Afghanistan. I'll post a lot of these on my website, which is alanskillicorn.com.
Thefirstword.net. I'll post them on the net. Yeah, thefirstword.net.
You can always find me on Twitter. Sometimes Jeff is there. Jeff's on Facebook
but
all
let's,
the time.
Let's,
he likes to pick fights.
I do.
Yes, we're going to keep these.
Let's save these till the end of the year, and we'll see who is writer. Correct.
Definitely put. So typically on every show edition, I do like a show notes, and I'll put this stuff in there. I don't think I have any links today, but sometimes I got links, and I'll point to those links. And if people want to look that up, if you want to listen to the podcast, and you can check our work next December. That'd be cool.
Right. That's the point. Happy New Year, everyone! You can look forward to another year of Left, Right, and You. Thanks for joining us.
For this. Hey, you're listening to WRNN 1410 Elgin. This is Barry Williams, and I'm listening too.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Precious.